Wonderful is it to say that I'm a child of the King. Amen. All right, open up your Bibles to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 6. 2 Kings, chapter 6. We'll begin reading at verse 1. We're going to look now tonight at the 12th of the miracles associated with Elisha. And this miracle comes about in the midst of the work of Elisha and the sons of the prophets. We're not told much about what that ministry is, but we can kind of speculate a little bit about it, and we'll do so for a moment. But it comes in the midst of that. The title of the message tonight is The Servant and the Floating Axe Head. The Floating Axe Head, and that's what the miracle is about. We'll, as I said, we're reading here in 2 Kings chapter 6. We'll start at verse 1 and read through verse 7. Before we do that, let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, O Lord, we thank you for this wonderful day you have made. We thank you for all the rich blessings you give to us each and every day, and not the least certainly of which is the blessing of eternal life through Christ our Savior. Oh Lord, I just pray now for you to guide our hearts and our minds to understand your word. Help us to look at this little story here of this axe head and what transpires. And Lord, glean understanding from out of your scriptures. Lord, we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go ahead and read it first, and then we'll come back and look at it. It says, "And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Excuse me, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, Take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it." So as we look at this, a few observations I'd like to make as we go along here, more practical, I guess, in nature, but just looking at this. First of all, it has to do with the sons of the prophets. Now, who were they? Now, these were men who had basically dedicated their lives to learning and studying and proclaiming the Word of God. It is thought that Elisha, and probably, in fact, he did, Elijah first, had set up some schools in the nation of Israel to train these men, to teach them. You know, if you remember, the whole thing, the whole part of this story is they are living in desperately wicked times under desperately wicked kings. And we've seen King Ahab, we've seen Queen Jezebel with the story of Elijah, and that same evilness is continued throughout the country, even on into Elisha's time here now, and will continue to do so. As a nation, they will never turn to God, and in fact, not too long after all of this, they will go into captivity and basically cease to exist as a nation. And we're talking about the northern tribes of Israel. So in the midst of all this, Elijah and then Elisha worked with him, and then once Elijah left, Elisha kept it going. They started these schools, to train men in the ways of God and in the Word of God, so that they could be spokesmen, prophets to the people during these times. And it's thought that there were at least three locations where these schools were. One being Jericho, another being Gilgal, and the third one escapes my memory at the moment. But the three, and it's they like made a circuit from one to the other. and would stay for a time at one and teach and preach and whatever, work with these men, and then move on to the next school and spend time with them. And so they just kind of worked their way around at least three of these, and maybe there was more. And so that's what we come to here, these sons of the prophets in this particular place, and we're not sure which one. Some say it's Gilgal. But nonetheless, one of these, they have reached a point in verse 1 where they have grown in number, and so much so that they don't have enough space in the place where they're at, in the building where they're at. And that's what they're asking. They said unto Elisha, "Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. It's too narrow. It's too, too enclosed. Not enough room." They've run out of room. And that's their problem here. They need more room. Why have they grown? Well, maybe it had to do with some popularity of Elisha, and going even back to Elijah and the miracles that were performed. And the bottom line is, I believe we should certainly say that the Lord is moving and he's calling more of his people, you know, and so they've been blessed. Their numbers have grown. The increase among God's people is all God's business. That's what he does. We can't really control that. Now, some have taken the whole church thing to way out of bounds in that they use manipulation and so forth, and it's all about the numbers. They manipulate people into making decisions for Christ, and it's all about numbers, and they brag about that and so forth. Well, let me tell you something. Someone truly comes to Christ, it's the business and work of God that makes it happen. That doesn't mean we sit back and don't do anything. We're commanded to preach the gospel. We're commanded to be witnesses for the Lord, and we should be doing so. But whether or not there's any increase, that's in the hands of God, and that's dependent upon his moving as he calls out his elect. It quickens them and calls them out. But it apparently they have had some growth here, and their place where they're dwelling is too small. And so they have a solution that they offer up to Elisha. In verse 2, they say, "Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell." And he answered, "Go ye." So they come to Elisha. They've got a great plan. They've put it together. They've sent out, got their marketing specialists together, and special advisors and so forth, the consultants, and they're going to have a big ag campaign, and they're going to raise a whole lot of money and build them a really nice place. Is that what that says? No, not at all. What is their plan? If it's okay with you, Master, they're saying, we'll just go cut some trees and build us a new place. And they're not asking for money. They're not saying, you know, Elisha, you're out among the people. Won't you let them know we got some needs over here and take up an offering everywhere you go? That's not the way they approach this. They just simply ask for permission. Let us go cut down some trees and we'll build a new place, a little bigger, and build us a new place. What a novel idea. To take things into your own hands, in a sense, take responsibility for your circumstances and try to do something as God will bless. Now, I'm not saying there's not a time to raise funds for things and so forth, but some folks get way too carried away with that stuff, and it becomes all about the money. The big deal among churches today is the three B's, bodies, buildings, and budgets. That's all they're about. That's not what church is, okay? That's not what a congregation is. You know, we're about the Lord's work. If there's a need to build something, we ought to do so. And we ought to trust in the Lord to provide for our needs. And I want to say, before I go any further, how thankful we ought to be for the way the Lord has blessed us. He has really taken care of us, and we've done some significant improvements and just sheer maintenance work on the building that we have here and not had to borrow any money or be in a bind over it. The Lord has provided before we needed to do something, and as we've determined we needed to do something, we had the money to do it. The Lord has blessed us, and I believe he takes care of his people. Now, sometimes he wants us to do without, and he withholds things, and we have to suffer a little bit, and there's nothing wrong with that either, by the way. But what we need to do is trust in the Lord. But I commend these people, because these sons of the prophets, because they're taking some responsibility here. They're saying, hey, we'll just go cut some trees, and we'll build us a new place. And Elisha apparently thinks it's a great idea. He says, go do that. That sounds good. Verse 3, and one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So they wanted him to come along too and be a part of it. Verse 4, so he went with them. And when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. So they're working away. They're cutting down trees and getting what they need. And this one's working on a particular tree. The axe head comes off his axe. Okay? Anybody ever had that happen? It can happen, as we know. I remember a few winters there when I was a teenager. Daddy decided we'd make a little extra money by cutting firewood, and we had some timber, about 25 acres, and so Daddy cut some stuff, and I think part of the deal was he just loved watching me split wood, because I had split wood, and had an old axe, and it was bad about the head coming off. You have to watch for that. And that's what happens here. And what makes it worse, or makes it a bad situation, is, well, two things. One, it falls into the Jordan River and sinks to the bottom. And they lose it. They can't see it. They don't know where it's at. They've lost it. Secondly, it was borrowed. And that causes, notice what the prophet says, the son of the prophet here. He says, alas, master. He's brokenhearted because he had borrowed this axe. And he took that very seriously. You know, there's a lot of folks today, and I'm convinced we're living in such times, that happened. They borrowed the axe. They said, oh, well, things happen, and just gone on, not even cared about it, or not even worried about trying to replace it for the owner. They just let it go, But this man was very concerned about it, and I commend him for that. I commend him for that spirit. He's concerned. He's borrowed it. And now he's lost it, and he's responsible for it. And these sons of the prophets, they're not wealthy. They're dependent on the Lord to provide for them. And this isn't, they're not all becoming rich. They're not all going to go out and found mega churches out of this deal, They're struggling. And so it was a loss here. And it was going to be a difficulty for this man. And so he cries out to Elisha, master. The only one he knew to turn to was the man of God, was Elisha. In verse 6, and the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick. Now, the definition of stick there could be a small tree, like a sapling, a young tree. But he cut it down and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. In other words, that iron axe head floated to the top of the river where they could get it. Anybody ever seen iron float? I mean, not without, I guess, some ships are made out of iron, or certain maybe were back in the day, but I mean, you had to do something pretty special to make iron float, don't you? But iron axe head, that's not going to float, okay? It's going to go to the very bottom of the river, and that's where it's going to stay. But in this case, it's a miracle, because it floats to the top. And so therefore said he, take it up to thee, and he put out his hand and took it. Now, I want us to look back at this miracle now with a little different light and with a little different lens. And I want us to maybe make a spiritual application of what we see here. Because I think what we can take from this and learn from this, or see examples of here, is a picture of salvation. of one who is being saved. And why do I say that? Well, let's look at, and see what happens. This man, the son of the prophet, has lost something due to a fall. And all mankind has lost something due to a fall, due to that fall in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve sinned, and they fell. When Adam sinned and fell, so did his whole posterity. All of the human race fell with him there because he was our federal head. So we have all lost something because of a fall. And that something is life, spiritual life. This man lost something here. And it's a great loss. And leads to heartbreak and suffering because of the loss. He cries out, alas. Now let's think of the axe head for a moment. This axe head was as if it were dead. It falls to the bottom of the river and it can't bring itself up. Okay? There's nothing this man can do to bring it up. It's gone. I mean, in their situation, in those circumstances, in that day, there just wasn't anything they could do about it. So it's as if it were dead and buried there in the Jordan River. So we can't raise itself up. Nobody else can raise it up. It took the cutting down, then, of a stick or tree to bring about the raising of this axe head. And I want you to know that there has been one who has been cut down for us. And that one is the Lord Jesus Christ. It was no small thing for him to come to this earth and take on the form of a man. It was no small thing for him to live perfectly, obediently, his life here on this earth. It was no small thing for him to be betrayed and then beaten and then tried falsely and found guilty wrongly and then be put to death on that cross. It was no small thing the wrath that he bore there on that cross. That wrath that rightly should have gone to all of his people whom he died there for. Your wrath, if you're a believer in Christ, if you've been born again, the wrath you should get, Christ bore in your place. He endured it for us. That's no small thing. We look at this and we say, oh, you know, it's just a little tree thrown in the water. Oh, no big deal, really. This whole thing, no big deal. Some people think, I think, they must look at salvation as being that way. Oh, it's no big deal. I can always go to church more. I can always clean up my life and do better, and I'll go to heaven. Well, that's not possible. Any more possible than it was for this axe head to rise on its own by its own power. Folks, we know, earn our salvation. We cannot do anything for our condition because we are like this axe head that is before we're quickened by the Spirit of God. We're as if dead. We're dead in our trespasses and sins, the Scriptures tell us. And so we can do nothing for our situation. Our only hope comes in with the work of Christ upon that cross when he died in our place, when he suffered on our behalf, when he endured God's wrath for us. And he did so. He is the stick that was cut down and thrown into the water for us. Note this axe head rises to the surface. What does that symbolize? Well, resurrection, of course. We are resurrected in Christ. When we are quickened and given life, we are experiencing a resurrection. what was once dead now lives by the power of God. So the floating axe head is us, in that those who have been quickened, those who have been given spiritual life, in that we live, we have been resurrected because of what Christ has done for us. And then this man is told to reach out and get the axe head and take it up. It wouldn't have done him any good for him to just sit there and watch that axe head floating on the water. As fascinating as that probably was, that didn't complete his need, did it? What did he need? He needed for that axe head to be back on that shaft of his axe so he can return it to its owner. He needed to reach out and get it. He needed to apprehend it. That's what faith enables us to do. We apprehend our salvation. God provides it. He does everything for it. And through faith, we put our hands on it. We are converted, if you will. We come to that point where we know what God has done for us. And we're a different person from that point forward, because of what we know, what God has revealed to us through that, in the apprehension of faith as we take hold of our salvation. What a wonderful thing that is. How wonderful it must have been for this man to have gotten the axe head back. How even more wonderful is it for us to know and to receive the salvation given to us. Praise be to God for what he has done for us. Let's bow our heads and we'll be dismissed. Brother Jeff, would you dismiss us in prayer?